Well, good evening. Hey, I know this is such a busy time of the year, but I'm so glad you made the effort to come out tonight and come to church and have our communion service and just gather together as the family of God. It's the busier we get, the more we need this. The more we need time to sit at the Lord's feet, to worship, and to spend time with one another. And to spend time in the Word and being spiritually edified. And then tonight, also to take of communion. If you've known me for long, or you don't have to know me very long to know that I love Israel. And I believe as Christians, we should all love Israel. I believe Israel is God's people. And God is not through with Israel. In fact, many, many prophecies are still to be fulfilled concerning the nation of Israel and the land of Israel. And so I love to support Israel any way I can. And do that as a church is we organize tours to Israel. We go every 2 to 3 years. I seek to bring a group from this fellowship. Sometimes it's a combination of churches. But it's a wonderful way to support the land. You invest in their economy. Tourism is one of their, main players for their country. And so when we go on a tour group, we bring a lot into their economy. We support them. And then at the same time, those of us who go are enriched spiritually. Because one trip to Israel, you'll never look at your Bible the same way again. I've often said it's like, the Bible becomes 3D after you've been to Israel. And I want you to know tonight that the places that you read about in Scripture are real. This is a book that's real. These stories really happened. And you can walk around on the very sites. And the archaeologists are still digging up things, every year to confirm what we read in the Scripture. So tonight I want to show you some pictures of this last tour. The journey for us began November 16th. That was a Friday. We got up early in the morning. There's 15 of us that went on this tour, 13 from this church and 2 from another church. An 82-year-old man from Alamogordo went with us, and his son David from San Diego. So they met us at the airport on that Friday morning, and we began our journey. It is a long journey to get there. We leave here at El Paso on this particular tour. It's like a 4 to 5 hour flight. First you go to Phoenix, and then it's a 4 to 5 hour flight to Philadelphia. And then in Philadelphia, you get on a 12-hour flight to Tel Aviv. 12 hours in the air. It's a long trip, and people fight for the aisle. Because the legs can get pretty cramped. But it was interesting this time, it was a lot of stuff happening. In fact, we left 3 days after the rockets started to be fired at one another. And we actually had a travel alert to Tel Aviv, which meant we could have changed plans. But our group decided, let's go. We made it to Philadelphia, and we went. And so we got on that plane, we took off, and there's no turning back. Because the next time you're on the ground, you're in Tel Aviv. And so that's kind of where I'll start. That's a picture from my hotel room in Tel Aviv. You land there in the afternoon, and we got on a bus, and we met our guide. And we came and checked into this hotel, and there's my view from the hotel, Mediterranean Sea out there. And I don't know if you're with us Sunday, but we were in our hotel 15 minutes and we got a bomb siren. And so picture a siren, hearing a siren. We don't hear that very often in the States, do we? But we heard it there, and I look down and I can see people running to take cover. And there's shelters on every floor. And so our group, 15 minutes after being to Israel, got this siren, and we're thinking, boy, was this the right thing to do, But we went in, and there was no issues there, and that was really our only incident the entire trip. So we went to bed, we woke up, and let me take you on day one. This is our first stop. This is Caesarea by the sea. This is a beautiful spot, and it's significant in Scripture in three ways. This is a site that I like as a Gentile, because Philip the evangelist went there, and that was his home in the book of Acts, and he was an evangelist. But Caesarea is also where the gospel was taken to the Gentiles. Peter went to Cornelius' house in Caesarea, right in this very city. And in this site, ancient Caesarea, this is where Paul the apostle would have stood before the authorities. In the end of the book of Acts, he stood before the authorities and he appealed to Caesar. He would have walked out of this place. We're kind of in a theater here. He would have gotten on a boat and he would have sailed off to Rome from right in this spot right here. And so this, I call this place the launch pad. Paul wanted to go to Rome, and he got to go to Rome free of charge, all expenses paid by the Roman government, right? And he brought the gospel to the ends of the world. So that's a great sight. There's another shot of it. Beautiful, beautiful place. From there, we go to the top of Mount Carmel. What happened at the top of Mount Carmel? Anybody? Elijah and the prophets. That was the showdown on the mountain. Here's a statue to commemorate that. At the top of this beautiful mountain is, it's wonderful to sit there, by the way, and read the actual stories. So we'll sit there at these sites and read these stories in the Bible. We have a Jewish guide with us, and our guide this year was a believer. So he was able to share, he was a brother in Christ, and share us all about the land and knowing the significance of all the sites from a Christian perspective. But on all the sites, we sit there and we read through the stories. Sometimes I'll give a devotion. And at this site, there's a church, and you can go up on top of the church, and just a breathtaking view of the land from Mount Carmel. That's looking out over the Valley of Jezreel, also known as Armageddon. The Valley of Armageddon is where you're looking at right here. You get a view of it from Mount Carmel, and you also get a view of it from another city that we visit, and that's Megiddo. Megiddo is a wonderful, wonderful stop on the tour. Just so you know, you become familiar in Israel with a word called tell. We stop at many tells. Anybody heard that word before? Anybody know what a tell is? A tell is a mound. Think of a mound of dirt on which many civilizations have been built up on and torn down and rebuilt. So you have a city there at one point that was ground level. Somebody comes over, conquers it, destroys it, builds another city on top. Later on in history, that town gets conquered. Instead of using, I would just remodel, wouldn't you? But instead of reusing, they tear down and build something else on top. And this happens over the centuries, so that what you have is a mound. And so what you can do is dig through the tell, and you can go down in time the further you dig and get different artifacts. Well, this is the tell, Megiddo, one of the oldest cities that we'll visit. Impressive city. Solomon had his horses there, and you can see the ruins of the stables. And something that was very important with ancient cities, they had walls all the way around them, right, to protect them. But if there's a siege outside, or a surrounding army, you know, surrounds you, you got to have water. That was precious. If you didn't have water, game over, right? And so many of these cities would dig tunnels down to water sources, and there's a real deep water source that we walk down and see in Megiddo. I forget how many steps. 183 down, and how many out?
80
out. So it's a good long walk. We all walked it. You walk down and see that, I don't know, towards the left. You go down, 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 down into a deep well-looking structure. And you can see there's still water there. In Megiddo, I took a picture of that. Anybody want to guess what that is? Any idea? That's a manger. How many of you thought mangers were wood? They all look like that in the nativity scenes, don't they? Wrong. They're rocks. Our Lord would have been wrapped in swaddling clothes and lied in a manger. That's day one. Then we go north and we hit the Sea of Galilee. It's real and it's beautiful. And there's the view I had of it from my hotel room. I had a balcony. We could watch the sunset. We stay 3 nights right around the Sea of Galilee. Beautiful hotels along the route. Just to mention, if you ever want to plan on going on a tour with us, I've done enough tours now to where I think it's important to spend more. I've done tours that are cheaper than others. This last tour we did was one of the more expensive tours that we took, but we stayed in top-notch hotels. And it was a few hundred dollars more than other tours. And I figure if you're going to get on a plane and go to the other side of the world, you might as well go, full speed ahead. And so we'll be doing this from now on because it was very good. You get arrangements like this. So, woke up in the morning and we got up on a boat and we traveled out into the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Here's Bill from Alamogordo, 82 years old. He had a wheelchair. We had to help him get around quite a bit. There were some sights he couldn't see, but boy, he was a trooper, wasn't he? And he went with us on almost every sight. I don't see that real good. That's the Ortega family. And there we have Lori and Diane who were with us. That is one of the most special sites that you visit. You'll find that when you go to Israel, everyone wants to build churches on the holy lands, on the holy sites. So you go to Bethlehem, and we didn't go to Bethlehem this time. It's under Palestinian control. So we used to tour it, but many tour groups don't do that anymore. But when you go to Bethlehem, there's a church on it, the Church of the Nativity. It's a famous site. It's got the door that you have to stoop to go down to get into. But it's a church, and they have this spot where they say Jesus was born. There's an X on the floor, and it's like, right. All these religious ornaments and candles and, so I don't like to go where the churches are. I just like to go to the sites and see the sites. And what I love about the Sea of Galilee is you can't build a church on it. And so you can go out onto the Sea of Galilee. And what I do every year or every time we go is, and we were able to do it this time, even though it was rough waters, it was a little rocky. Just go out there, turn the engine off, and utter quiet. And just float on the Sea of Galilee and have a little quiet time with the Lord. Picture Him walking to you on the water. That's a very busy day around the Sea of Galilee. We go to the Mount of Beatitudes. There's a church there, but they also have a beautiful garden around it. And we spent some time in the garden together and read some of the Sermon on the Mount. This is, I've talked about this place several weeks now in our study of Mark on Sunday mornings, Capernaum. This is the city where Jesus had his headquarters during his public ministry. He and his disciples would stay in Capernaum and they would stay in Peter's house. We talked about how Jesus was in the synagogue, where there's the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, that's probably not the one that Jesus stood in. There's another synagogue below it, which is more likely the synagogue that he stood in. But, man, you're right there where Jesus taught. And then the scripture says in Mark 2 that they, I don't know if you remember the passage, he left the synagogue and he went into Peter's house. Well, if you walk out of the synagogue, this is what you'll see. There's some ruins of some other houses and marketplace. But you see the weird-looking building on stilts? And it's over an area that is absolutely believed to be Peter's house. Ruins of Peter's house, where Jesus did so many miracles. Capernaum is a pinch-yourself moment. Very, very wonderful moment. In Capernaum, we also saw an example of an olive press. You put those olives in, you crush them, and the oil comes down. And you know, we were talking about the immense pressure that olives are put under to yield that oil. And we wanted to see a picture here because that comes in handy at another site. So all along at every site, you'll see different things that will tie to other sites. Capernaum. Then that same day, we went to the Jordan River. Again, another goosebump moment. By the way, it was wonderful weather. So it was like in the mid-70s, and the water wasn't too bad. It wasn't too bad at all. Last time I'd gone, it was in February, and I did some baptizing, and I came out with blue lips. It was so cold in February, but in November it was still wonderful. And most everybody wants to get baptized, rebaptized. It's the Jordan River. And we had three in our group that got baptized for the first time. The two youngest Ortega daughters, I had the joy of baptizing them. And then our 82-year-old had never been baptized. We baptized him. There he is going down into the Jordan. So there's some shots of us doing some baptizing in the Jordan River. There's the youngest. One of them, it was a little deep. She started to go under and almost baptized herself. So we picked her up and we baptized her. And that was a very, very beautiful, beautiful moment. There's Skip and Marcia, who were also with us. So there's a picture of the group at the Jordan River. And I just thought I'd mention something. You know, how many of you know Chuck Smith? Have you heard of Chuck Smith? He started the Calvary Chapel movement many years ago. He's older now, and he also has a deep, deep love in his heart for Israel. And I'll just mention this. I don't want to take away any of his reward or anything, but you see, years ago, Jordan River was there and people did baptisms, but you had to sort of walk. It was on a shore and there were wooden stairs and whatnot. Chuck Smith built all that infrastructure right there, just donated that to the land of Israel. The rails, the ramps. And isn't that cool? He just did that. And so pilgrims are baptized there, you know, every daily. That was day two. All the sights you see after day two. Go to bed. Go back to your hotel room. Pass out. The first several days you wake up at like 2 or 3 in the morning. You're up, and you get tired around the afternoon. It's a weird getting used to the jet lag, and by the time you get used to it over there, you get on a plane to come back here. But day three, this is going as far north as you can into the land of Israel, a place called Dan. And this is an impressive site. It has an ancient altar on it. And this is actually, the history here is awful. This is where Israel, the northern tribe, or the northern kingdom of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, worshipped golden bulls up here in defiance. And so a lot of idolatry in this spot, wicked place. If you go up on that altar, up on top of the hill, you can look into Lebanon. You can look right into Lebanon, and that's how far north you are. This is still in the area of Dan. That's called Abraham's Gate. That is the oldest mud brick gate ever found. It dates back to the time of Abraham in the book of Genesis. So they're very, very careful with that. This is still up north. This is Caesarea Philippi. I don't know if you can notice, there's a pit down there. And there are little, see how there's little niches in the cliff? That is a place of gross idolatry over history. Many, many idols were worshipped in that place. That hole to the left, some really sick things happened there. They would pray to the god Pan. They would pray to the fertility gods. And they would actually throw sacrifices, some even say babies, into that pit. And that's also where the Jordan River, by the way, one of the sources of the Jordan River, they'd throw sacrifices into that, and then they'd run down and look downstream and see if there was any blood. If they found blood, then they said the god didn't accept it, so they'd have to go up and throw another one. And they'd do that till they didn't find any blood. So this is a place of gross idolatry. This is a place of... And it's sort of like a museum over history of all the false idols, all the different false religious systems. This is where Jesus brought his disciples and asked that question, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist. Remember that passage? Who do you say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus brought his disciples deliberately up and put himself in, you know, like a museum of all the false religions. He said, who am I? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's where Peter made his confession of faith. And this is where Jesus promised that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. So we went back to our hotel. We had another night. And then you get up in the morning and now we're heading down south towards Jerusalem. And along the way, we do some sights. This is a place called Bet Shean. I should have had a picture. There's a hill off in the distance. It's the Tell. And this is right near a mountain in Scripture known as Mount Gilboa. This is where King Saul was killed, on Mount Gilboa. The Bible says that he was his head was cut off and his body was pinned to the gates of Bet Shean. And there we are in that city. It's also one of the cities called the Decapolis in the New Testament. 10 cities. Very impressive sight. There was an earthquake in the city. I forget how many years ago, but they left it preserved so that you can see the various pillars and everything that fell. Just an incredible sight. And you walk around this place, you know. Still heading south. This is a new site. I'd never been to this site, but I hear the parking lot's always packed. There's our tour bus, our bus driver, 15 of us on this site. And this is normal. And this is kind of how it was at almost all the sites. I guess we were the only tour crazy enough to go and to stay at that time. We did hear that a lot of tours did cancel. We didn't. We went. We had that first scare that first night. And I think God honored the courage of our group because we had Israel to ourselves for the most part. And here we went to a new site that I've never been. It just opened a couple years ago. And this is a more authentic baptismal site at the Jordan River, where they think this is more likely where Jesus would have been baptized by John the Baptist. The other site is still, you know, it's the Jordan River, and it's great to get baptized there. But this is a brand new site, and there's the Jordan right across from the Jordan River. See the people? That's the country of Jordan. So the Jordan River is the border of Israel and Jordan right there. And so you can get baptized on this side, and while people are touring on the other side, they can get baptized. It is interesting, they have armed soldiers on the other side. And on our side, we've got armed soldiers too. So they're there on the ready. And there we met a soldier. God bless these guys. The Davids of old, David's mighty men. That's what I think about when I think about these young soldiers that are incredible in how they guard the land and whatnot. So there we are. There we had something interesting happen at this place too. There were a couple of guys from South Korea that had a camera, and they were taking all kinds of shots, and found out they were doing a documentary, a Christmas special. And they asked who was our group and who was the leader of our group, and the group said, well, they pointed to me. And so they did an interview of me here at the Jordan River saying Merry Christmas to the South Koreans. And so I had to sort of tie the Jordan River and the baptism of Jesus into a Christmas greeting, and the Lord gave me the right words, but never expected to film a South Korean Christmas documentary at the Jordan River across from the country of Jordan. You never know what you're going to get. So then we are on our way to Jerusalem, and at this point, things were tense. They hadn't hit the ceasefire yet. A bus had been bombed in Tel Aviv. And so it was things, there was high alert, and you saw a lot of stuff going on. But when we get to Jerusalem, that very night, they did the ceasefire. And at that point, all these shots I've shown you so far, we were way up north. So we weren't around any of the conflict that was coming down south. So we got to Jerusalem, and right when we got there, God gave us a ceasefire. By the way, it's an amazing thing. The first time you see the old city of Jerusalem, you're on this highway, you'll go up, you'll go through a tunnel. And when you come out that tunnel, you come around and there's the old city of Jerusalem right there. And it's for the first time you see it, you get goosebumps. So he took us there, and he took us to a spot way up. I think this was at the Hebrew University. And we had a blessing there and took a picture. The next day is the most amazing day of the trip. Our first time in Jerusalem. This was Thanksgiving Day. First you go down, we went down and we did a tunnel tour. There's a tunnel that goes all the way under the Western Wall. So you're under that wall, and you go for several couple miles through tunnels and learn a lot about the bedrock information of Jerusalem and how it was built and the Temple Mount and all that kind of stuff. But here's a shot of the Western Wall, and we do make sure that people get an opportunity to stop at that wall, pray, and see all those papers. They're scrunched up and they're put in the cracks. Those are prayers that people leave at the Western Wall. There's Clarence and Skip and Joe up there. Incredible moment. Now, the guys, they separate guys and gals at this point. The guys have to go to the left, the girls go to the right, and guys have to wear a head covering. If you don't have one, they provide one there for you. After the Western Wall, we went to the Mount of Olives. And we pretty much had this place. I mean, it's as less crowded as I've ever seen it on any tour. We were able to just sit there and take our time and look at the city of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. It's a shot of our group. Pam said, I'm going to ride a camel. And there was somebody there who let her ride a camel right there at the... Mount of Olives. And that camel's name was Kojak. And they don't smell. So Pam got her camel ride. I got a camel ride there too. So from the Mount of Olives, you walk down the Palm Sunday Road. So you come right down from the Mount of Olives, and there's this road that you walk down. And those two are in our team. Every time I've walked down that road, it's been almost so crowded, you're like this. Okay, we had the whole Palm Sunday Road. We could have all ridden camels down if we wanted to. Donkeys would have been better, huh? And so that's just an incredible moment. You get down Palm Sunday Road, and in that area, you come to the Garden of Gethsemane. And to me, this is the most holy moment on the tour, one of them. Because I think this is the most amazing place to think of what took place in this garden. This is where Jesus decided, I'm going to do it because I love him. Remember, this is where Jesus sweat drops of blood. Said, if there be any way, take this cup from me. This is where Jesus decided to go to the cross and bear your sin. And he went. This is a site. It's labeled City of David. I'm actually standing on the City of David. And I'm giving you a view from the City of David. City of David is the oldest part of Jerusalem. Who conquered Jerusalem? Originally, David, way back then when it was called Jebus. The Jebusites lived there. And so the first Jerusalem was this little plot, you know, of land on Mount Zion. And later he would go up and David would buy the threshing floor at the top where the mount, where the temple mount would eventually be. Well, They've dug down, and you get to see parts of the City of David, the ancient walls. And that's an incredible sight from the City of David. These are called the Southern Steps. And this is, without a doubt, a spot where Jesus himself could have stood on these steps. These are the famous southern steps that lead up into the temple. The temple's not there. The temple mount's, you know, still there. But these date back to the time of the second temple. And to stand on those steps, where people would take those steps up into the temple area. This is where the disciples, after they waited in the upper room in the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And they spoke in tongues, and Peter gave an address, probably right in this area. 3,000 were saved that day. They were baptized. If you look all over this area, you find old baptismal sites. I've wondered when I've read that passage, where did they baptize everyone? Well, all over the southern steps and all over the temple area are these baptismal sites. So it would have been easy to baptize. That's another goosebump moment. There's the group. Again, look at that. Usually there's like 25 groups spread out all around it, and we've got it. I went all the way up to the top and turned around and took this picture. By the way, in the Psalms, you always read, let us go up, up, up to the house of the Lord. Let us go up to the temple. Whenever you go to the temple, you go up. It's a climb up. It's the song of ascents are, because it's such a, it's a brisk uphill walk. Thanksgiving pizza. That's what I had for lunch. Actually, when we got to the hotel, they knew it was Thanksgiving in America. And so for all the American groups that were there, they actually had turkey at the hotel and dressing. That was kind of nice. Day six. This is the Valley of Elah. Anybody know anything about the Valley of Elah? This is where David met a giant by the name of Goliath. Right in this valley. And we always stop at a little riverbed, little brook. What did David get from a river? He got five stones. And so I always like to go in there and get five stones and bring them back to my kids. They love that. Now, we don't know if that's the exact spot, but wow. By the way, that was Sabbath. That was the Sabbath day when we were there. So things were starting to shut down early. We did go back to the old city of Jerusalem on our way back to the hotel. And we did some shopping. The old city of Jerusalem is divided into four quarters. There's a Jewish quarter, a Christian quarter, an Armenian quarter, and then a Muslim quarter. And it's really interesting. You go from quarter to quarter to quarter to quarter, and you see how things change, and shopping's crazy there. We had our Black Friday right there in Jerusalem. So this is when we got back and we had a Sabbath meal. I wanted to show you this because this is kind of a picture of the meals that we would have. Full buffets. They fed you really, really good, don't you think? In fact, definitely had to, you know, tone it down a little bit when I got home. And the reason I wanted to take this, I showed you this picture, is right after I took this picture, I was accosted by three waiters and a Hasidic Jew. And I was like, huh? You can't take a picture on Sabbath. It's called work. So that was bizarre. Five times Israel, and I never knew that. And it was kind of humorous because I'd made a big deal. Picture all these people in a room, and I'm all, get around the table, let's take a picture. Take the picture, and they said, no, you can't do that. And the other thing that happened that night is a waiter was walking back with six platters of you know, taking it back to the kitchen. They'd already eaten, and he fell, and all six of them landed on this old lady sitting at a table. This poor woman had Jell-O in her hair, gravy. All it was one of the worst case dining room accidents I have ever seen, and they will be laughing about that one for years, I'm sure. Do you remember way back when? So we felt so bad for that lady, but she was a champ. She took it in style. It was pretty cool. It wasn't anybody in our group. So day seven, this is where we go way south. We come out of Jerusalem. We go to a place called En Gedi. This is where David hid from Saul, right in this area. There's a humorous story where David and his men are in a cave. Saul has to go to the bathroom. He goes into the cave to find relief, remember? And the men say, here's your chance, David, go get him. And David just tore a little bit of his robe off, right? And spared Saul's life right in this area. We normally get to hike this and go up to there's a spring up there and waterfall, but we weren't able to because it had rained the day before and they worry about floods there. So we went up to a high spot that overlooks it. And here's what I wanted to show you, this because we get to sit and read the Bible and do devotions on the very sites where these things happen. And so we did this at En Gedi, and at this particular site, I challenged everyone in our group to get alone with God and write their own psalm, because many, many psalms were written by David in that area. We got a picture of one of the biblical animals that you read about in the story. What's that called again? A coney?
No, that's
an
ibex.
Ibex, okay. The mountain goats. Yeah. Just came right up and said hello. From there, we go to Masada in the Dead Sea. Masada is a mountain fortress. It is a mountain fortress. To get up to the top, you have to take a cable car. So you get up to the top of this mountain, and then you continue walking up into the fort. This was one of Herod's palaces, Herod the Great. And this is summer home. winter home, because it's really, really hot down there. And this is where he had his palace. You can find all kinds of things up there. There's a view from the top, looking out over the Dead Sea. This is looking at, you see a kind of a three-tier there? That used to be a palace and a fort, where Herod would just hang out with friends. Okay, so this was all by the Romans. When the Romans came in control of the land, the Jewish people, later on in the 70s, 70 AD, right around there, I forget the time, but they revolted against Rome. And there's a community of Jewish people that took this place. And they went up to this fort. And they stayed there, them and their families. And they had water in the cisterns. And there was grain. So they had this place to themselves. And the Romans went after them. They laid siege to them. But how do you get up that? Well, it's an incredible story. I don't know if you can see it too well. That's looking down. The Romans actually built a ramp out of dirt and rocks to get up to the top of Masada, to come in with the battering ram, and they were going to come in. Now you say, how could the Jews at the top not do something about them constructing this ramp? They know it's coming. Easy. The Romans used Jewish people. So if they were going to fight against the people that were building this ramp, they'd be fighting against their brothers, their sisters, aunts and uncles. So the day came where the ramp came, and the Romans were coming through, and it's a very incredibly sad story, but the Jewish people up there, I forget how many, 900 or something, chose suicide over letting Rome capture them. And there's a whole story about how they chose lots for who would be the last one to live, who would kill the last dad. I mean, everyone was, only a few, I guess, escaped. So when Rome got up, they found all those people dead. It's an incredible story. By the way, there's a movie that's been done on it. You can check it out. There's a lot of debate as to whether that was the right thing to do. You know, whether they should have stayed and fought or whatever, and people have very heated opinions on that. Incredible story. Then we go to the Dead Sea, which, by the way, is dead. There's nothing alive in the Dead Sea. Nothing. This is at the lowest point on earth. This is the lowest place below sea level on earth, the Dead Sea. It's like stepping into a mineral bath. We're out pretty far. You can't sink. You just float. And it's like getting it's like an oil water. Okay? And so precious minerals in there. A lot of people like to put on mud, like the Ortega family right there. A lot of people do that. You get in there and you cake yourself in mud. There's lotions called Ahava, which are made from the products of, from the mineral sources of the Dead Sea. I always bring some home from Kim every time I go. It's the best stuff. It's the best stuff. You can get it just about, you can still get it. It's pretty expensive here. In fact, I think you can get it locally at some places. Huge product out of the Dead Sea. The next day is, I call it Museum Day. This is day 8 now. First stop in the morning is Yad Vashem, which is the Jewish Holocaust Museum. 3-4 hours there, and it's important that you go. It's tough to go, but it's important that you go and see. It's one of the most amazing museums I've ever been in. They have a place outside it called the Avenue of the Righteous, and this is dedicated to Gentiles or Gentile nations that helped the Jews. Stories where Gentiles actually stood up and helped. And on this Avenue of the Righteous, they have trees planted for everyone that helped. That one right there is Corrie Ten Boom's tree. It's interesting. They had planted, given her one a long time ago. The day or the week that she died, her tree died. And so they planted another one. And that's why it's so much smaller than the others. Very interesting. Then you go to a place in the Jerusalem Museum where this is a view of Jerusalem in the days of Jesus with the temple. So you can see the people up to the top right. I mean, it's a very big temple model that you look down on. What you're looking at right there is the city of David. That's the city of David, that part of old Jerusalem. Then we stop by the Dead Sea Scrolls. Anybody heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls? This is a museum that actually has copies of the Dead Sea Scrolls that were found at Qumran, which is very close to the Dead Sea and Masada area. We do visit Qumran as well. On that particular day, we had one of the greatest things that we like to do as a tour is this thing called the Abraham's Tent Dinner. We stop and we go visit Abraham. And you stop at his house and there's a bunch of camels. You get in biblical clothing. You get in your robes. You take a camel ride. And you meet Abraham. Abraham tells you his story. Then you have a meal together like you would. That's kind of the view you have from the tent. These are the very areas where Abraham was dwelled. That is a great thing to do. We went home, we went to bed. Then the next day we get up. This is another huge day because we're in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem proper. Temple Mount, it's usually an hour wait to get up there. We waited for 5 to 10 minutes. There's Clarence and Pam on the Temple Mount. We had this place to ourselves. Again, I've never seen it. Now, that is an amazing thing. Orthodox Jews do not go up on the Temple Mount because they're afraid they might walk where the Holy of Holies was. So they don't go up. They stay down by the Western Wall. That's as close as they get. But you go up and we, you know, you have the Dome of the Rock there, which is not my favorite site. I like to go and think about a temple that's going to be rebuilt there one day. Pool of Bethesda. Remember the story where the crippled man is trying to get into the water when it stirs up and he can't get in? Take place right in this area. There's also a beautiful church at the Pool of Bethesda called St. Anne's. And it's known for its acoustics. And you always go in and sing a hymn at St. Anne's. And this last time there was a group of 15 of us, 16 including our guide. So we went in and there was actually a large group at that site from, was it Brazil? I forget where they were from. But they didn't speak English, but they were singing, Alleluia. So we joined with them. And it felt just like all the tribes of the earth will one day gather and praise the name of Jesus. This is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. In Jerusalem, there are two spots primarily where people believe Jesus was crucified and buried. One is in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They say it was a place of crucifixion way back when. And a tomb, and they have spots in that church that they believe is a site. Many, many people think that's true. I don't like that site. It's so religious. You get in, and it's just filled with candles, and it's just religion over the top. I mean, it's just unreal what you see. And people go, and they bow, and they kiss various things. It's very, very like that. It may be the spot, but there's another spot called the Garden Tomb. And you go into this lovely area that's a garden. And here's a site looking at a hill. And you may have seen pictures. This looks like a skull from certain angles. What does Calvary mean? What does Golgotha mean? Skull. The place of the skull. Here's a cliff that looks like a skull. Does that mean Calvary means skull, cranium? We could be Skull Chapel, Sun City, right? But I like Calvary better. It sounds better. But this could be the site where Jesus was crucified. And it's interesting. Remember, Jesus was crucified in a spot that was visible on roads that people traveled? Bus station. Right now, it's a modern-day bus station. And it's crazy there. There's a picture of the tomb. This, to me, is the authentic place. And we go and we go to that tomb. If you look down below, there's a slot, which you could like put a rock in. Think of a dime or a quarter that would fit in a slot. And then you roll it down the slot. That's the rolling away of this tomb. Rolling it up and down like a quarter in a slot. It's not like a big boulder that the angels move, though they could do that too. But it's a... So, this is our last site that we stop. People do go in, and they do take pictures, and the tomb is empty. On the way out, there's that famous phrase, "He's not here, he is risen." And then as a group, this is our last site, we find a quiet place, and we always have communion together at the garden tomb. These places are amazing. After that, it's evening. We'll get on the bus and we'll go and we'll have a farewell dinner together as a group. Beautiful farewell Israeli dinner. And then we go back to the Tel Aviv airport. We get there around 10. And I hope I don't embarrass too many of these. But we're pretty much crashed at this point. There's Diane and Lori. And sorry, Ortega family. I had to put that in there. Charisma. She was pretty... We're all pretty tired at this time. It's 11:30 at night when we get on the flight at Tel Aviv. After a long day of touring... 12.5-hour flight back to Philadelphia. They only gave us an hour and 20-minute connection in Philadelphia, and it's an international. The Ortega family almost missed the plane, but we got on. 5-hour flight from Philadelphia to Phoenix. 3-hour layover in Phoenix for a 45-minute flight. But we got back. We got back at 2:20. It was literally, you know, including the day of touring, it was probably, I know it was 24 hours straight travel time, then you had the day, 36 straight hours. I went home that night, and I remember getting into my bedroom, and then next thing I know, it was 4 a.m. the next morning. So it was one of those things where I literally passed out when I got home. But it was wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful tour. And I would invite any of you to come join us. Our next one will be in a couple years, 2014. And start saving up now. It is a trip that you'll never, it'll change your life. It'll change your life. Let me have the communion elders come forward. And we're going to sit at the garden tomb together. And we're going to have communion. The worship team can come up. Maybe we need to turn the lights up a little bit. Our faith is not based on mythology. Our faith is based on reality. And of all the marvelous things you see in Israel, the most marvelous thing is that the tomb is empty. And that Jesus Christ has died and risen again. And he's our Savior. And we're going to remember his sacrifice for us the way he told us to. Why don't you quiet your hearts? Sing along. Remember that this is for believers. If you're here this evening and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do so right now before you partake of this. The message of the gospel is that Jesus came to this earth, and at Gethsemane, he made the decision. He went all the way. He went to the cross and he rose again the third day for your sin. His blood washes away our sin. And he rose again and he's alive and he can forgive you. He can save you if you place your faith in him. If you've never received him, receive him right now in a prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I place my faith in you. You're real. I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, rising again. I invite you to wash away all my sins. Save me. Let's partake.